The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to the Monday morning recap, everyone. We're early here. Oh, my.
Disappointingly so.
It's only 4:38 on the East Coast. Maybe we should have waited another hour to get the Monday morning recap in, you know?
Why not? It's morning in Hawaii.
Sure is.
Yeah.
Sure is. We appreciate everybody tuning in to the live show Thursday night, live from the Sweet 16. Bob, I'm just going against all of your picks, and I can't wait to hear them this week, and I'm going to take the opposite from now on.
That's fine. I guaranteed Houston would beat Arizona. I was right about that one.
You did. That was the only one you got right, and then you rode them Sunday.
I had them the whole time, so...
That was so in person, and this is why I think I've been so good at college football, because we see it in person. Once you're able to see it in person, you can see what their true talent is and then make assessments going forward. That was the worst team I'd ever seen Thursday night play college basketball. And then
they won by 12.
Yeah, I don't think they're the worst team you saw that night.
They beat a one seed by double digits. How did they look like shit?
Because Arizona is probably not that good either.
They were that good. It's Houston is just chaos. Houston is, we're going to throw athletes at you. We can't shoot.
No,
but we're going to play incredible defense, and we're going to just like cause havoc. Like that's all they do. And
they were 1 for 20 in three pointers on
again. They cannot
actually
shoot.
You know what the fucked up thing in that game is? Is not that they were 1 for 20, but that they somehow took 23s. Because that team should be taking like 6 threes.
Yeah,
a game.
Should not.
They were 1 for 20 and lost by 6 points, which shows you that Villanova probably
is terrible too.
Either Villanova is not as good as you thought they were, or Houston is a good team that's hard to match up with.
Houston's very good defensively. They have giant athletes, and Colin Gillespie was terrified.
Villanova shot 28.8% from the field, and that's not because they'd had a bad shooting night. It's because everybody that's played Houston in this tournament has shot under 35% from the field. Literally everybody
they
played.
Good defense.
Everybody I've seen, though, on that night on Sunday, or Thursday night now?
Thursday night.
None of those teams were very good at all. Not any four of those teams can't win a championship.
Yeah, but Villanova, we knew that coming into the longer win because they just lost their best player.
Correct. Yeah, so but like also, he's out, right?
We knew this popped his Achilles.
Yeah,
we knew this was the weakest field in college basketball that we've seen in a long time before and the playoffs even started.
That's what I said. I said, look out for the unders, which they've all hit. I mean, that fucking Houston game was 94 total points. It was 50-44. It's been all unders, and then the teams that are in there are all blue bloods.
Yep.
So, I mean, they sailed through. You got four fucking blue bloods in the goddamn Final Four.
And also only one seed beyond a one or a two.
Yeah.
And it's fucking North Carolina.
And I picked North Carolina.
Classic underdog North Carolina.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah. I picked North Carolina to go to the Final Four, but I saw them in person, and I was like, holy shit, they've got length. They're fast, and they're very athletic, and I thought they would go to the Final Four. I'm really surprised about Duke.
They had a players-only meeting, North Carolina.
Did they really?
That's what turned the season around.
Look at that.
Players-only meeting.
Tebow.
I agree most of my picks have been shitty. I'm just very defensive and will stand by Houston. Houston in particular. Yeah. I'm like, no, that one I like that one.
After my performance this week, too, I'm just out on brackets. Altogether, so like, bad. I did
awful this fucking year.
Well, gambling-wise, I haven't had a run this good in a while.
I'm in on North Carolina. I think they're the best team I've seen play so far in this tournament.
Same.
I'm glad that a couple weeks ago I bet on them to win the Natty because I'm going to win $9,000 if they fucking win two more games.
It was 18-1, and we talked about it on the show. And, you know, when I saw them in person, I was like, that's the best team that I've seen in this tournament. Duke is in it. Duke against North Carolina. That has never happened in their 100-year history, which I'm surprised. So as soon as that stat was brought up, I was like, wait, they've never met in the fucking
Yeah, do you think the NCAA
brackets?
Is, like, mad about that for Coach K's farewell tour?
No. Are you kidding?
No, they
and for ratings?
They could have
ratings. Like
they could not have written this better.
Gambling, yeah. All of it. It's going to be amazing. So they're going to play. So one of them is in the finals, which is great for ratings. On the other side, Villanova is going to get destroyed. Yep. I don't know if the points spread is
like
out
Kansas,
yet.
4.5, I believe.
Oh, smash
hammer
Kansas.
It. Hammer smash. Kansas. I'm all in on that.
I mean, Kansas is, as much as Rob likes to disrespect them, they're probably the most solid team all year. Like, most consistent, I guess.
Yeah, they were consistent all
and
year.
And you have Remy Martin, who is just starting to find his own.
Yeah, the weird thing about that game, so I took one of my only losses yesterday was I took the first half in that game, and then I parlayed the others. All bets are in Drinking Bros Sports. It's a private Facebook group. Sign up, join. You can see all the bets live before the game start and everything else. That was the only bet I lost was the first half. Kansas was down by 6 in the first half. They won that game by 26 in the end. That's a 32-point turnaround from halftime. Fuck, that's almost as many points as Houston scored in the entire game. Like,
just keep taking those shots, baby.
I will. I mean, yes. it was
and this
awful.
And they're playing the Final Four too. It should be noted as not that bad of a travel from the state of Kansas. They're playing in Chicago for that fucking Elite Eight or whatever, so they had plenty of fans there. But those people are going to travel to New Orleans, so that's unfortunate. And Nova is missing their best player now. Just like Creighton lost one of their best players right at the end of their game, then played Kansas in the
set
second
it up,
round.
Set up the excuses. Let's
fucking
go.
Cannot stand it.
But like it or not, Kansas is in the championship.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. They're going to play.
The only mystery is who they're playing, Duke or North Carolina.
And unrealistic that Villanova probably wins the championship. But, you know, Jay Wright has a chance to win a third title.
He's a great fucking coach. And with that squad that I don't think is very talented, in the games that we've seen over the
weekend.
They're
weekends, not deep.
No.
They're about 5 deep, and they just lost one of their starters. So
yeah,
it's not going to be.
They did the most they could, though, with that talent, I thought. Mm-hmm. And it's purely because of that coach. Because Jay Wright's fucking awesome.
If you make a Final Four on a down year, then you're fucking rad.
I guess. Technically, you can say that, but this is like a down year for the whole league, right?
Putting the banner.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no superstars in this fucking thing, dude, which is interesting.
Is Paolo playing himself back up?
Allegedly. Like, I guess BT Bates, he keeps me up to date on all things Russillo and Bill Simmons.
Yeah.
So he's telling me that those two think Benchero's number one overall pick now.
Yeah, I think he might be, too.
I do, too. Yeah. Yeah.
It can't be Chet.
I hate to agree with it. It's not Chet. Chet was Chet, dude. I mean, look, Gonzaga's going to Gonzaga. The weird thing is they didn't make it past the Sweet 16. The number one team in the country doesn't make it past the Sweet 16.
He fouled out with, what, like 10 minutes left?
They're never going to win.
The refereeing is always questionable in college, but
right,
that was
that's bad,
particularly bad.
They're never going to win a title. Gonzaga's
I think they're done, too. I think that was the last one where they had the team. They could have done it. And I can't figure it out if it's the coaching
Mark
or
Few?
If it's the talent. Yeah.
One too many drinks.
A few too many drinks.
Yeah. Oh.
Nailed it. But I can't figure out if it's if he just can't coach. Or
no, he's a great coach. He's just and
well, he's a great recruiter, but does that make him a good coach?
He's been to a national championship. He's been to a Final Four. Like
he's got two Final Fours. And yeah, two natties too. I like two natty appearances. I mean, because I think both Final Fours they advanced to the championship game.
Yeah, yeah, they lost to North Carolina the one year.
Yeah,
and then Baylor obviously last year.
They just, I don't know what else because I think he's a good coach and he can recruit.
They're gonna keep getting recruits.
They kind of got unlucky last year in that there was one other team that was like as good as them, but I don't know. I kind of think they just get soft out there. In the WCC. I think they really do still get softened up.
It was a pretty good conference this year.
Yeah, it was decent. To me, there's no excuse. You fucking lost.
And that's just what happens. It's obviously one game scenario. Like St. Peter's literally just went to the Elite Eight as a 15 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to win their conference tournament to get into the tournament. They knocked off Kentucky, knocked off Purdue. They're knocking off teams that are much better than them. But it's a one game scenario. Like, shots go in, shots don't.
But that's
you
the reason
say the same
I
thing about Kansas,
Sunday.
Though. Like that game Kansas played against Providence, Providence went like 2 for 22 from three and only lost by, what, 4 points or something like that? Or 5 points?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That game could have, like, Kansas could have easily been out of this tournament already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's happened for pretty much every team, except for, in my opinion, North Carolina is the only one that hasn't had a close game.
I was at the overtime game.
I don't mean score wise necessarily. I just mean, I feel like they've been in it and the reason they've won the games they've won is because they played better than the other team, not because the other team didn't shoot well or whatever else.
And even at the Baylor game, because, you know, I was at that game, they were up by 25 in the second half, and then they blew it. But then they had the wherewithal to come back.
Well, they blew it because Manek got tossed.
Who?
Yeah.
Bearded white dude.
Oh, yeah.
Got tossed for a flagrant.
Yeah.
And also the refereeing got really bad. The refereeing in that game got towards the end. Egregious.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird.
I feel like the officiating in this tournament so far has been pretty bad. Like you have to, I understand that college rules are college rules and all this stuff, but every other sports league on earth gives a little bit more leniency and lets the players play more in the fucking turn in the playoffs, whatever the playoffs happen to be, whether it's hockey, football, baseball, whatever, right? Like, you let people play. You don't call tic-tac fouls. What did Purdue have, like 42 fucking free throws in one game?
Especially when you only get 5 fouls in college.
Yeah, so it's fucking wild.
You get 2 quick fouls and you're out for like the entire first half.
And it's 6, you're in the fucking 1-1, and then you're in the fucking double bonus.
But I'm saying just guys who pick up 2 fouls early on, it's like you just can't play them for a while.
College, I mean,
it kind of affects the game.
Yeah. It completely affects it. If you don't watch college basketball regularly, you don't realize that, like, if the refereeing in there, it's essentially like if someone like had a joystick and can move the rims up and down as someone's shooting. Like, it's just a third random chaos factor.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking golden snitch that you hope you catch so that you can get more points than the other team.
And they're notoriously bad. Like,
notorious.
At least if there's one thing they are, it's they're consistently bad.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's just like your chaos factor. Like, I don't know. Imagine like every NFL game, there's like a 60% chance that there's going to be like wind that goes 60 miles an hour or something like that. And it's just like, well, chaos is going to happen. Like, it's just this weird fucking chaos factor.
Yeah, it's strange. The one team that I want to ask you guys about, because oddly enough, I have not seen them during this tournament, is Duke. So the first round games I was at, the second round games we were all at together, and that was the night of Duke was playing, but they weren't in any of the brackets that I got to see. And then Saturday night's game against Arkansas, I was actually on a flight. I saw the Villanova-Houston game. I was on a flight for this one. I didn't see it. Are they that good, and can they actually win it all? Because it seems like most of these games have been close, but I haven't been able to see them.
They pretty much beat the shit out of Arkansas, who's really good.
Yeah, so they did. So this 9-point win was a legit win. Like, it wasn't close.
The final score was closer. Duke dominated that whole game.
Okay,
like, at no point was Arkansas threatening to fucking win that game. No.
Gotcha.
And they arguably beat who I thought was like one of the best teams in the country, Texas Tech.
Yeah, Texas Tech is good.
Okay,
Duke's really good, and so Duke is like both the recruiting's there, and if you want to, I know everyone's making fun of me for KenPom, but they've been like a top 3 KenPom team all year. Like, there's no part of Duke that isn't like good, at least looks good.
For this particular tournament, they are really good at shooting free throws, and that you're looking at like 10 extra points a game. Like, with the officiating been happening this year, you're looking at 10 bonus points per fucking game, man. That's more than the margin of victory for most games.
And if you want to guess who's going to get calls,
yeah, no shit.
Oh yeah.
There's only like, one.
No, you're not going to be. You might be the ref that fucks over St. Peter's, but you're not going to be the ref that fucks over Krzyzewski in his last season.
No,
because then you're done.
I would be.
That would be funny.
I would be.
Just like pull your shirt open and it's a fucking Tar Heel in there after the game.
They have fucking dudes too. Like, Banchero's looked way better in this tournament than I remember watching him earlier in the year.
Like, but he also, like, you would rather him go off for 35 than get the rest of the team involved.
Yeah,
like when Banchero's just kind of like playing selfishly, that's when Duke's at their worst.
Yeah, the fun thing though is it's going to be either Duke or Carolina against Kansas probably in the finals for ratings and all that shit. Look, I love a good story, and I have no fucking dog in this fight, obviously.
Right.
For Coach K to win it all in his last season and walk off like that would be pretty fucking rad.
Over two blue bloods.
It would be even better if, of all teams, the first time they ever meet each other in the tournament, North Carolina bumps him out and ruins his whole fucking life.
Another great storyline. Yeah.
Coach K's last game, losing to Carolina by 30.
It'd be a great story.
It'd be really fucking funny.
Because he'll come back next year.
I watched the Duke. I had money on the Duke UNC game, and I had money on UNC. And then to watch him give that speech afterwards was fucking phenomenal. If they do it again, if you're a Carolina fan, like, it's like Ohio State, Michigan. That is just burying the fucking coffin, dude, at that point where you're like, is it 6 feet? No, we're going to make it 12.
But fuck the precedent's been set now for retiring and immediately coming back. Tom Brady just did it.
Yeah.
Throw some respect on Brett Favre.
Come on.
The OG.
Shout out Favre. I don't know. I don't know if a coach, though. Well, I get Phil Jackson.
He retired and then unretired. And then, honestly, you got fucking Jordan, too. Jordan might be the goat at retiring, to be honest. Like
he's definitely retired more than anybody I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, go to mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will double your deposit up to $1,000. I can fucking promise you this. Before we do the Final Four show, go ahead and lay all of the money on Kansas right now before that spread starts to get jacked up through the fucking roof here come Saturday. That's an easy one, especially with, you know, homeboy being out like that. Now's the time to take advantage of mybookie.com. Will they be a sponsor anymore after the run that I've been on the last few weeks? Probably not. And I don't give a fuck. The goal is to bankrupt mybookie.com with the promo code Drinking Bros and double your deposit. If they go out of business, they do. Fuck them. That St. Peter's money line, though, I will say this. This is for everybody who is in the Facebook group and all that other shit. I got so fucked up at that game. I made that bet from the hotel bed. It like it appeared as if it was 1:15 or 2 in the morning. Moneyline St. Peter's for $1,000. And I woke up to that. I texted you guys. I was like, dude, I at some point did this during the night, but those 8% seltzers fucking got me that night. And thank God. I didn't think Purdue was very good anyway. So I felt confident in the bet. I just don't remember making it. But it went down, and here we are. And they're not stoked. The bookies did get their money back, though, because there was apparently a bunch of people who would bet St. Peter's to win against Carolina, and they were just getting fucking smashed, the casinos.
The odds weren't even that great for that game.
It shrunk. And, like, I looked at the point spread. Here's what I can't figure out, right? So the point spread of that game was -8.5 against Carolina.
Mm-hmm. I laid that.
Typically, a money line, a money line in that game, though, usually pays off at like 4 to 5 to 1. That one only paid off at 2.5 to 1, and I can't figure out why. Do you know? Do you know? I'm asking seriously.
I have fucking no idea.
Because more people would take the money line than the points.
And are they allowed to set the rules like that? Like that?
You can set the line to whatever you want.
That doesn't make any sense to me, though. Like
it kind of does.
But at 2.5 to 1, because the game before those odds were fucking 8 to 1.
I mean, I don't know. Like it was just, it was,
I'm sorry, 6.5 to 1.
It was a lot. I was just a lot smaller probably because a lot of people laid St. Peter's money line and Vegas was like,
They'd rather not get smashed again in the off chance that St. Pete won, which they weren't going to, but.
Okay. And then here's why I bring this up. There was a bunch of listeners, from another gambling site. We're not going to say what it is. We're having problems because they wouldn't let you bet that game at all. So they wouldn't let you bet on Sunday. One of the big ones wouldn't let you bet the money line for St. Peter's against UNC on Sunday.
Yeah.
They just took it off the board the same way Robin Hood took off AMC and GameStop during that run.
Yeah. They don't have to offer it.
Yeah. I've been fucked by multiple gambling sites where it's like, hey, you, but it's not.
It's not there?
Yeah. It's not. This isn't fucking, what is it from Joe Dirt? This ain't UNICEF. This isn't a charity. Like, they do whatever they want. Like,
they're no just like, fucking way.
Dude. Hey, fuck you. We're not going to get fucked on this.
Maybe one day UNICEF will get into the online gambling business. But until then,
UNICEF just sells candles.
Is that all they do?
Yeah. Okay. They raise money and nobody knows where the fuck it goes.
It's a candle company.
Yeah.
It's a candle company?
Yeah.
Okay. candles nice at least?
No.
They smell like mass graves.
Yeah, they're.
We'll switch on over to baseball real quick here. Breaking news: Albert Pujols just re-signed with the Cardinals.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good move.
They're last year. That's his last year, right?
He signed a 1 year deal.
He signed a 1 year deal, but he'll probably be back for another year.
So,
how fucking old is he?
He's 100. I mean,
I think he's 40.
Yeah, he's like 40, 41. So here's the thing, though: he is 21 home runs away from 700. His rate stats are sufficiently, they're not fucked. Like, he has pretty good rate stats, but
he's still a 297, 919 OPS.
But he's not going to get back over 300 batting average, probably.
Right.
And he's not going to get over 1,000 OPS again or whatever. So he kind of, that ship can sail on the rate stats because he's also not going to drop below 290. He's not going to drop below 900 OPS.
Well, he's got 3,300 hits and 679 home runs. So it doesn't really matter about his rate stats.
Exactly.
No.
So what he wants to do, though, is hit as many counting milestones as he can, including and especially joining the 700 club, which would make him the fourth.
So he's just Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's okay. Mr. 700.
Mr. 3,000.
Can he do it is the question. Yes. Can he hit 21 home runs?
Yeah, if he gets the at-bats. I mean, he hit 13 last year and very few at-bats.
Well, didn't you say that the DH is in place now for National League?
Yes.
So I'm assuming that's why they did this deal, because he's not an everyday starting first baseman.
They've got Goldschmidt there.
They have a top, like, four first baseman, the Cardinals do.
So he might only be DHing then.
He pretty much is, yeah.
Okay.
But the Cardinals don't have a very deep lineup. Like, after Goldschmidt, Arenado, and DeJong, like, there's not the jacked dude in the outfield, O'Neill.
Tyler O'Neill.
That guy's got the biggest fucking arms on earth. Outside of those, like, four, like, it kind of drops off really fast after that. So it's not a bad addition. He's not going to bat every day either. He's only going to face lefties for the most part.
Okay.
And he's actually still an above-average major league hitter against left-handed pitching.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's their current DH is Dickerson, and he's a left-handed batter that does not hit well. He only got like 50 total at-bats against lefties last year. They don't let him hit against lefties. So all that action. Pools will probably get like 230, 240 at-bats.
Yeah.
Probably hit 15 home runs, something like that. And he'll come back next season.
They'll let him
wheelchair out and hit a couple more.
Yeah,
like, okay. The Cardinals aren't going to be good anytime soon. So
no, they'll be fighting for like a wild card spot. That's the Brewers division for the next couple of years, as far as I'm concerned. But it's good business too, by the way, to have like the probably second best player, third best player in franchise history come back and win.
It'll put asses
probably
in the seats
the
for sure.
Second, other than Stan Musial, right?
The only one I could possibly also put over him is Bob Gibson.
It's a pitcher.
Yeah,
doesn't count. It's not the same.
Easily the second best hitter in franchise history.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's also 147. RBI short of the all-time record.
Really?
And that's 73 and a half a year for 2 years. I don't think he'll get there.
That'd be a tall order.
Yeah.
He's getting in one season.
He might, it might
get
only be.
Juice to the fucking gills.
Yes.
And come back.
Do it.
Better than ever.
Well, he can't juice because he's this close to the Hall of Fame, so why fuck it up now? Nobody knows if he juiced or not, and it's like, you don't want to be a Rafael Palmeiro where they find out you're last year and you're 47 years old.
Just blow it.
I thought his wife wanted him to retire. She posted a thing saying it was his last season 2 years ago.
Yeah. His wife, big Jada Pinkett Smith vibes.
Oof. Really?
Kind of, yeah.
That's funny.
She's a little overbearing.
Just go full Anderson Silva. Get popped when you're old.
Yeah.
And then completely ruin your legacy, which doesn't really ruin your legacy at all.
No, because he's fighting and doing other weird shit now. Mm-hmm. So who cares? Fuck it, I guess.
His first 10 years in Major League Baseball, this is Albert Pujols.
It's better than Mike Trout's.
He averaged 119 runs, 190 hits, 43 doubles, 41 home runs, 123 RBI, 91 walks, and 331 batting average, OPS of 1.05.
It's arguably the greatest.
It's not arguably. It is the greatest 10 years in the history of baseball to start his career.
Yeah.
And it's not even really close.
He was robbed of like two or three MVPs because Barry Bonds was like just injecting horse semen into his every part of his body.
Yeah.
Every hole he had.
He opened up his career with 10 straight seasons of, he had one season of 99 runs, but every other season he had 100 runs, 35 or more home runs, I think, and 100 or more RBI, and hit over 300. Like, it's never been done before. Chipper's the only person that came close, and he did it for 8 straight years, I think.
And two World Series.
Yep.
And a couple MVPs.
Three MVPs, yeah. I don't know why. I mean, he must be just bored.
Well,
or he wants to hit 700.
I think he wants in on 700.
That's where I was trying to figure this
out. He's made $350 million in his career. Maybe he should go spend that.
Well, look, if baseball is that important to him, I mean, 700 is a big milestone. Because besides Babe Ruth, did anybody do without steroids?
Willie Mays. Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron. So it would be the three of them. I don't count A-Rod's bullshit.
There's no guarantee that Hank Aaron didn't take steroids because Mickey Mantle was taking shit.
He's on greenies.
There were a lot of people taking shit. Yeah.
Mickey
Mantle was getting, like, he had
B12 injections.
It was injections of some sort that left a huge abscess in his fucking thigh, and it wasn't B12. B12 doesn't do that. Mm. So it was something. Who knows? I think it was amphetamines, but
okay,
who cares? I mean, now you, like, a player could take, get a Adderall prescription.
Yeah, you just have to prove you have ADD, you can take Adderall.
By prove, it's the same way you prove you need weed in California. You just get a doctor to say that you need weed.
There's no special, like, MLB doctor that's like, all right, well, now what color was that block again? Like, they put it behind their back.
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, I have, like, ADHD. That's what the tests are like, basically.
It's stupid.
It's really dumb.
Do you have it, or do you just want of coke?
I was, like, legit diagnosed as a child against my will. Like, to the point, I was diagnosed with ADHD so long ago that I was praying that I didn't have it because I thought that it meant I was retarded.
Oh,
like, legitimately, when I got diagnosed, I was, like, embarrassed. I didn't tell anyone. I thought I was retarded.
Did they also separate you from the other kids at school and put you in a trailer?
Yeah, but they did that for a different reason. Yeah.
For reading comprehension?
Yeah, because he kept touching stuff.
Yeah.
They did that to me.
Mostly myself.
Yeah. I didn't have ADHD, but they still did that to me.
What did you say, Georgia?
Well, that's Delco. They got to split you guys up somehow.
I was just asking if Rob had it such a long time ago, they gave him Ritalin.
Yeah, that's right.
But I was an early Adderall.
I was offered Ritalin. And I said yes.
How old were you?
No, I got tested for ADHD when I was like 4 or 5, I think, and they offered drugs, and my mom said no.
Okay.
But I started taking my own drugs.
Yeah, I think my stepbrother was taking it in like 4th grade. But back then, shit, I guess you could.
Yeah,
I don't know if it still goes on anymore.
I mean, I think it's something, something weird about society where we're medicating fucking 5-year-olds because they can't sit still for 8 consecutive hours.
Right.
Yeah. That seems like maybe you're setting us up to failure.
My kid recently started crawling and he keeps putting like cords
this
and
late,
stuff.
Huh?
What?
This late.
Yeah.
Huh?
And he keeps putting like cords and stuff in his mouth. And I was like, but cords don't go in your mouth. So I just started giving him Xanax.
Makes sense.
Chill him out.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Or give him like Toradol shots.
Yeah.
So that way the cord just kind of droops out of his mouth.
Or propofol. Exactly. Yeah.
And by the way, he's the size of a 1-year-old already. He's fucking bulking up for you, bro.
He's coming for you.
Yeah, he's got a misshaped head.
He's coming for you, dude.
It's getting round. We got it. We're good.
Better keep that helmet on.
Georgia, I wanted to ask you, over the weekend.
I had a face mask for that bitch.
Over the weekend, we had the soccer game. We tied. Does that still count as an undefeated season?
Yeah. You're undefeated. You're still undefeated.
Who's the we?
I'm just questioning the children that I coach.
Oh, so you're a fucking loser now.
No, I was a tie.
Yeah,
ties are
worse than losses.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's what I.
But I'm asking Giorgio because he's the soccer aficionado here on the show.
And during Arsenal's invincible run in 2003 and 2004, where they went undefeated all season, they did tie some games.
You get a point.
All right. So I had to get your info on that. It was a last second tie too. With 10 seconds left, the kid scored a goal. So,
what I would do if I was
sounds
a coach,
like you guys choked.
Yeah, what you should do.
No,
is
we had to come back.
Oh,
yeah. So you choked the whole game.
Yeah,
but you had fucking warning track power. You couldn't finish it out.
We were not playing well that day. We had a couple kids out.
I think that is a reflection on the coach. I think not preparing the rest of the kids to step up. Next man up, right?
You're no Jay,
right? We tied.
You didn't win.
We tied.
I think you should have sent
you should have sent
all the kids home that day, and you should have said, "Here's your fucking homework, you tires." What you should go home and kiss your fucking sister. You kiss her deep and you kiss her good.
Long.
See what that fucking feels like. That feels like a tie.
Are we far enough south here for that to be a punishment?
Easily in Texas, yeah.
No, I mean to be a punishment.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
if,
gotcha.
That's a good question. If you don't have a sister, kiss your brother.
Yeah,
and make out with him hard and passionate.
Don't say
long.
Gay though.
Well, you can't say gay. Not in Florida. Not in Florida. We'll switch over to football here. The 49ers says they have no plans to release Jimmy Garoppolo.
They should probably make some.
Yeah, what happens with him? So serious question.
They're going to trade him, but I don't know to whom. And Baker's going to get traded too, but again, I don't know to whom. Or they're going to cut both of them. But they're saying they're not going to cut him. I don't know how to do that. Like, they're still trying to find a trade partner right now. There's a lot of time between now and the start of the regular season. There's also the draft coming up, and somebody's going to fucking panic in the middle of the draft. Like, oh, fuck, we didn't get our guy. We need to get Garoppolo, or we need to get somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably waiting for that, to be honest, to see if they can maximize the value. Then they'll just cut them.
What teams are close
but
need a quarterback that is competent?
I mean, fucking Houston needs a quarterback.
Houston needs a quarterback.
They need one.
let's not just give up on Davis Mills, okay?
Is that their quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was actually not bad this year.
Not great.
But Houston needs a guy who can get us from now until when we're ready to play again, and Garoppolo is kind of a guy like that. Or Baker could be. He could sell tickets or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like somebody that's
he would sell
they're not
going
to have to pay a lot of money for. Baker is probably the best option for Houston right
Texas
now, to be
kid.
Honest. Yeah. Garoppolo, I don't know where he's going to go.
Answer in Carolina.
I could see Garoppolo going to Carolina. I could see him going to the Giants. They're clearly not happy with fucking Daniel Jones up there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a better move than drafting this kid. Yeah. Or maybe do both, right? You could do both. But I think the it seems like the Lions are going to draft him, the guy from Liberty. I can't remember his name.
Malik.
Yeah. Malik Harris?
Harris, yeah.
Willis, yeah. Yeah, they might get him. Stefanski says they hope to have the Mayfield situation resolved soon. I'm not sure.
I don't know why you would do anything before the draft. Like use him as trade bait or something.
We're getting close to the draft, but apparently they were asking for a first round pick for Baker, and the entire league balked.
You could probably get a 2 and a 3, but not a 1.
Not a 1.
There's no fucking way.
Well, they all said no, so now they had to go back to the drawing board. So they're going to have to figure out some type of trade sitch. But, you know, besides Houston and Carolina, because Jameis will probably start for the Saints, I would imagine,
he's
at this point.
Start
or Taysom Hill, just because that contract's so big.
How much of that was guaranteed? They may cut him. He didn't even fucking play last year.
He had, I think, $18 million. Who, Taysom Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah, he started.
He didn't play that much actual football last year.
I think he started maybe the last 6 or 7 games.
I don't think he played much quarterback, though.
He was hurt.
Even when he did play.
Yeah, he was hurt most of the season.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you've wasted a year of that money now.
I think he's got $18 million guaranteed.
I would cut him. I think that's one of the dumbest contracts I've ever seen signed.
In sports.
It was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird, man. Because he's basically a tight end or a slot receiver. Reminds me of an Eric Decker.
He's too
small
for a tight end, but yeah, a slot receiver for sure.
Reminds me of like an Eric Decker.
He was 78 for 134 last year. 4 TDs and 5 interceptions.
Tight.
Like, cut this dude. Or make him a fucking skill position player and stop using him as a fucking quarterback.
Stupid. Put him on special teams.
I think they should cut Winston and Hill and just let Blake Bortles fucking start there, because if you're going to suck, you may as well suck out loud. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about a quarterback that got the Jaguars in position to go to the Super Bowl, and his defense let him down. So
defense is the only thing that got him there. Offensively, he's one
you're
of the worst quarterbacks of all time.
You're such a fucking loser that you can't like not stick up for other losers.
Man.
Are you kidding me?
Blake Bortles? Bortles?
Okay, well, when the Jaguars get back to the AFC Championship game, let me know.
You know, they're building a decent team there, man. I think it could happen in a few years. That's not out of the question.
Yeah, whereas
I
don't, back.
But I look at like a team like Miami, the Dolphins, or Houston, or whatever. They'll never be back. Like they'll never do that.
Well, I'm not sure the Giants will either, though. And I think the Giants are they're starting to realize that because their GM said today they haven't made any calls about trading him, but they did say 2 weeks ago that they were fielding calls.
Yeah.
So just because you're not calling people doesn't mean that you're not fucking entertaining. I think they should definitely trade Barkley. Like,
it's a waste.
I understand. Yeah, it's a waste. And Carolina should get rid of fucking Christian McCaffrey too. And not because he's not going to help your team be better, but you're definitely not going to win a Super Bowl. And those running backs, you can't spend money on them like that. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So McCaffrey, by the way, they said is not off the table as far as a trade goes, but they want three or 4 first round picks.
They could get 3 first round picks for him.
That's a lot. Sure. I mean,
I'm sure because
he's a win now guy.
Pick up that.
He's a win now guy.
Yeah. It's the type of thing, it's like a shitty team, shitty baseball team having an elite closer.
Yeah,
there's
stupid. Doesn't
no
make any sense.
Point to
no,
that
if
person.
Let's say he goes to Denver, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the receivers they have, they lose a couple of draft picks coming up in the next couple of years, but the receivers they have and Russell Wilson, right, who's a mobile quarterback, which matches really well with McCaffrey's style, then they're an immediate Super Bowl contender, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But Carolina, you can't add enough in free agency or in the draft to make them a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, but if you pay running backs more than food stamps, you're making a mistake.
I agree.
Yeah,
but that's from Carolina's perspective, they should take whatever they can fucking get. Same thing with the Giants.
Yep.
Let Barkley go play meaningful football somewhere. Let somebody else pay his fucking bills for a couple of years. And that then just let it be what it is, man.
Yeah.
I mean, people get too romantic about this shit, especially in football and especially with running backs.
Yeah.
Stop fucking paying these dudes.
You should only be drafting a running back should maybe be like the very last thing you draft as you're building a team to contention or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that guy. needs to be probably 2 years out of the draft when you're like, I'm ready to go for the fucking Super Bowl. Yeah. And if you don't have that guy, then you trade for Barkley, McCaffrey, whatever. Yeah. And that's, again, like the pretty much the last piece you
we'll have. See, when's the last time a big running back was non-tendered or fucking traded like that? Like, Zeke was the last one that came up for a big contract, and he fucking got it because it's Dallas and Jerry's fucking sentimental.
And it was dumb. It's a dumb contract. No, it's like, fucking stupid. He hasn't been that great there.
But Carolina did it, too. They gave McCaffrey a lot of money. And well, granted, he's the best in the league. There's no question about that. But he he's hurt all the time. Yeah, he does sell jerseys, but...
He hasn't played in 2 years. 2 years now at this point. I know because I drafted him twice in fantasy, and it has really fucked me over. Along with everybody else, because he was, you know, on the draft boards, number one in fantasy football. When that guy is healthy, he catches and he fucking runs well, and he can put up a lot of points. But he hasn't played in fucking 2 years.
Alvin Kamara got a big contract too. I guess he's 15 a year. McCaffrey makes 16 mil a year.
Oh, gross.
Kamara's 15. Zeke is 15. Dalvin Cook is 12.6. Dalvin Cook might be the only person on that list that's worth it because he's not been hurt and he's produced every single year.
Yeah, he's been pretty good.
Derrick Henry's next at 12.5. Nick Chubb is at 12.2.
Henry last year, he missed half the year.
Yeah.
He missed 8 games last year.
Aaron Jones of the Packers, he missed time last year, 12 million as well. They need a fucking receiver, not a running back.
Yeah.
I don't know. These numbers are fucking crazy to me.
Well, we'll talk about that now. Look, with Aaron Rodgers getting all that money, Pat Mahomes getting all that money, both of their star wide receivers were like, fuck you guys, we're leaving. The Devontae Adams thing to the Raiders was a huge shock last week. I mean, for that much money, would you pay a receiver that much money?
If I'm as dumb as the fucking Raiders are, yeah. Like they've got big fucking problems. I don't know what Josh Jacobs' contract is, but if they planned on giving him money to keep him there, that's definitely not happening now. Because you're not going to be able to afford another skill position player like a wide receiver or tight end or whomever it happens to be, and your quarterback and him. I don't care how they restructure that shit. It doesn't work like that in the NFL.
Listen, I don't know where Mark Davis is getting the money because he is cash poor.
But is he really?
Well, he's cutting his own hair. Well, so. Yeah.
And he's going to P.F. Chang's to save some money. But
I love Chang's.
No, he's just white. He's just white trash.
Yeah, just
he's
white trash.
The Raiders and
it doesn't matter how much money he makes. It doesn't matter how much money Donald Trump makes. He's going to drink Diet Coke and go to McDonald's for every meal.
He's a class organization, a class fellow. And
I hate the Raiders, but I will not let you bash P.F. Chang's on this show.
Okay? I love the Raiders, and I will not have you bash the Raiders.
God, they're terrible.
And Vegas. Vegas is one of my favorite cities.
Vegas is a blast.
Fun fact about my wife, she worked at the L.A. P.F. Chang's, the one everyone ate at.
The Beverly Center?
One of her first, one of her first jobs when she moved out to L.A. was as a hostess there.
I will also not bash P.F. Chang's because we would always get the BOGO coupons in college, and we just hit up 2-for-1.
Is Groupon still a thing?
No.
What happened with that? Where are people getting their deals
Honey.
Now?
They go to Honey now. Honey.com.
But that's only online purchases. Groupon is like you can buy it and then go somewhere and use it.
That was Honey.com/softcore.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
We had them for a while, too. Honey is one of the fucking best apps ever.
For sure.
By the way, this begs the question, was the biggest victim of the Henry Ruggs crash Aaron Rodgers? All said and done.
I didn't even think about the rug situation.
You're not even thinking about the fucking woman that burned alive.
No.
That's the joke he was just making.
Yeah. No, I understand
you
that.
Aaron Rod.
But I'm thinking on her on a deeper level of
unconscious.
Dude, if Ruggs doesn't get in that accident.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams probably isn't on that team.
Well, they're not. Yeah, they're not. They don't need him.
And that woman's also still alive.
She's still alive. I mean, that dog.
Not as important, but.
Right. I'm just saying.
I guess we'll see how it works out. If Aaron Rodgers murders somebody this year because of how bad the Packers suck, then it kind of evens the scales a little bit.
Well, I mean, how many people did he murder with his medical advice, Dan?
Zero. He's responsible for a lot.
Not
a lot of deaths.
He told fat people to stop being fat, I think. So I think that's pretty good advice.
No one that roots for his team probably took that advice.
Although, you know, if you do get sick, probably don't rub oil on it.
Right.
I think that's a universal
unless
truth.
Unless it's essential oil.
Yeah, right. Essential.
What's essential about essential. It?
Shailene's probably slinging right now.
Fuck yeah, she is.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely.
She's in Ojai grabbing some right now, dude.
I've also got an update on this Groupon situation.
Thank God.
It's still a site, and we can actually get Alice in Chains and Breaking Benjamin tickets for 42% off.
I can get Breaking Benjamin tickets for fucking free
by
texting Jason right now. He's probably listening to the show, goddammit.
He tossed me a follow the other day on Instagram. What's up, Jason? Thanks a lot.
He's one of my favorite people in the entire world.
Great human.
We can do a Texas Winos. It's $134 value for $55.
What is it? Like a wine tour?
It's a wine and cheese tour.
Mm. Oh, I love wine and cheese.
Yeah, you can put it on your fucking board over here.
Groupon's very much real. It's still a thing. I miss Grouper.
The dating app?
The dating app.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. Grouper fish still exists. We have not fished them into extinction yet.
That's true, but Grouper was a dating app where you went with two of your friends and you met a group of three girls.
Oh, that's a bad idea.
And the first drink was covered. And sometimes they went well.
Tinder tried to do
that
too.
No, it's hard enough to get two people to like each other, but get three individuals there's too many. Like, but how do you decide?
One, you're not paired
who's
up.
Who's going for
either.
Who?
Yeah, yeah. Damn
you're
it,
not
dude.
Paired up.
You gotta do that in the first drink.
And how many people did what out. Dennis did on It's Always Sunny, which is book the grouper, but only be the only guy that shows up. Yeah. Like, oh, the other dude got fucking lost on the way or whatever.
And then trash your friends.
Yeah, like they're a bunch of cunts. Yes. You have to.
It's pecking order.
So let's get into it now that Tyreek Hill has been traded as well to the Dolphins. Who's going to miss who more there?
Well,
Mahomes.
What do you think? Mahomes has Juju Smith-Schuster. He's fine.
Yeah, Mahomes.
He's still got Travis Kelce.
Juju's been kind of trash lately.
I'm not high on Juju. Yeah.
Who the fuck was... So Baker Mayfield sucks so bad that everybody thought OBJ's career was over.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same thing can be said for Smith-Schuster.
Yeah.
Like, Big Ben has been a fucking dumpster fire.
Wow. Mason Rudolph has held his own.
Okay. Oh, God.
He couldn't even keep his fucking helmet on. Get the fuck out of here.
But when you make a deal like that, look, unless they get rid of Tua, they're not winning a fucking title anytime soon. What? So you're just taking the money.
Come on.
For real.
Come on.
He's not an NFL quarterback.
Tua's dad's going to beat his ass into shape in the offseason, and he's going
to
be great.
He had
this
years
year.
To do that.
Years to do that.
Well, he did.
He would have.
No, here's the thing. So he didn't realize, like Tua, just the speed and the difficulty of the NFL game. So Tua's dad had to get in his own shape to get his son into shape. So it's been a couple years. Tua's dad's spanking arm is a lot stronger now, where it's NFL strong.
Yep.
And he's going to spank Tua to the level he needs to be at.
To be an elite quarterback.
It's fucking hot, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of receivers in the draft this year.
Tons.
Like two from Ohio State are going in the first round. For sure.
Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave will definitely go first round.
Yep.
Alabama's got two great receivers in the draft. I know, you know, Jameson's obviously coming off the torn ACL.
Drake London from USC is going to go top five or top 10 probably. Jameson Williams is probably going to go. Dotson from Penn State is probably going to go in the first round.
Or was it Michi? No, Michi, I think, was the one who tore.
Yeah, Michi.
Yeah. There's a ton of fucking receivers in the first round. So you got to think, is one of these teams, like right now at 17, Olave is expected to go to the Chargers. That's what I think CBS is, it's Draft Network.
Oof. If he went to the Chargers, that's a deadly.
But somebody, like the Chargers are definitely going, they've built a team already. They're going after one of these receivers. That's going to be a great team. Are any of these other teams that lost pieces? Like, I mean, technically Kansas City did, even though they fucking picked up Juju. Are they going to fucking try to trade up and get one of those? Because most of these teams don't have first round picks anymore. They've traded them for something else.
Yeah.
I don't know about the Packers, if they have a first round pick or not, but if they do, it's bottom of the round.
Well, the Chiefs got a first rounder, you know, a bunch of them from that deal for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
So maybe they're going to replace him with that.
The Packers have they have 28. The Chiefs have 29 and 30.
They have the last two picks in the draft. No shit.
31 and 32 are the Bengals and Lions.
Mm-hmm. The Lions? How did the Lions get in there?
Rams.
Oh, the Rams. Trade, that's right. A trade with the Rams. Fuck. We talked about this a little bit earlier, too, on Drinking Bros, but the Detroit Lions are your new Hard Knocks football team. God damn it. Don't.
Let's get the boys ready.
All right.
Dan Campbell.
By the way,
he's sheer entertainment. Of course, he's going to be fantastic.
But the rest of that team is boring.
Well, he's going to carry. He's going to carry the show.
It's the first time they've picked a shitty team. Yeah. Like usually, it's a team on the come up or a team that's like experiencing some kind of controversy.
I think the whole thing, like you can't make the playoffs the season before. There's like this whole criteria of like it's kind of like a punishment to get Hard Knocks.
Just put them on Madden. They'll get hurt.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Put the whole team on the front of the fucking
on the cover.
I just want to see Jared Goff's like dead eyes. After seeing
Dead
that,
eyes.
He was the only thing holding the
He's like, I'm trying to think of an example of like a dude that was married to a woman and it just sucked for her. And then all of a sudden they break up and her life goes super well. And he's like fucking eating Hungry Man dinners, you know, every night by himself over the fucking counter, not even sitting down.
I mean, there's some guys. You got DeAndre Swift, Penei Sewell.
Who?
Penei Sewell, he's one of the best offensive linemen in football.
I know who he is, but you think that guy's going to be a blast on camera?
Well, I don't know. He's Samoan, right? So probably. Yeah, they're maybe. Funny as shit.
He could be funny, or he could be like a giant family man and have like 12 kids.
Why don't you just call him Moana? That's what you were about to do. You were about to call him Moana.
I don't even know what that is.
Let's go down the fucking
team. I don't have a child. Yeah.
I want to see who's on this fucking team. Because
it's boring. It's a boring fucking team.
Let's see. Obviously, Jared Goff is their starting quarterback.
The best people on the show are usually...
He's got a hot girlfriend.
It's usually the people that are on the cut line that are they focus on.
Yeah, but he's got a hot...
Everybody's on the cut line on that team, though.
Well, yeah, everyone. So it's going to be a fantastic television product.
DeAndre Swift is their running back. He's like a 500 to 600-yard guy. Like I think his career high is 640 or something like that.
He got drafted
a couple years ago. He was hurt, I think, first year.
He's been hurt a while.
Yeah, you know, part of the game is being on the fucking field.
No, I get it.
So I don't give people breaks.
Kerryon Johnson, I thought, was going to be really good too, and he kept getting hurt as well.
Amon Ra St. Brown, that's their number one receiver. Good year.
St. Brown?
He was a rookie from USC,
right? He's a rookie from USC. Yeah. He had 90 receptions, 912 yards. Good season.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Shark.
That's right. They signed DJ Shark.
Yeah, except for he caught 7 passes last year.
I mean, it's grim.
2 touchdowns, right?
Josh Reynolds, 396 yards. Right? And then they have TJ Hawkinson, who also can't stay on the field.
He's good, though, if he's healthy, if he ever stays healthy.
I don't do ifs.
That might be your only big name there.
Yeah, just give me 30 minutes each week about Dan Campbell.
And they might.
Make it like that thing they did for Brendan Schaub, where he's learning to do stand-up. Don't even show any of the practices or anything. Just have him do stand-up comedy, and we'll watch that.
Show Jared Goff's wife or girlfriend plotting how to break up with him now that she doesn't live in Los Angeles.
She's going to go be a sister wife with Matt Stafford.
I mean, how entertaining was Last Chance U, this like third and fourth season, solely because of Coach Jason, what's his fucking name, the bald dude? The white dude from Compton.
Yeah.
He carried the show, and I watched every minute.
And look, you're going to have to lean on that for this fucking show, I can guarantee you.
Lions had by yards, fourth worst, and by points, second worst defense in all of football.
They got hot late, though.
No, they didn't.
They did. They won like 2 or 3 games late.
This is the problem with the NFL.
They had the second pick in the draft.
You know I'm on drugs.
I know. They
all
won
the time,
like 2 games.
You act like
they won
on
like
drugs.
Their last 2 games or whatever.
But that's the only 2 games they won all year.
Who cares?
Yeah. Well, they won 3. Come on.
Oh, did they?
But they only won 1.
Bad NFL
to end
is
the
so
season.
Bad.
Okay. Matt Ryan, by the way, to the Colts. Thoughts on that? I think that's pretty decent for those guys.
I say sprinkle their Super Bowl odds right
now. Yeah. No. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. Everyone's following the stupid fucking Rams model. You got to get like a veteran quarterback. No, Ryan's washed. He's done.
He's great. He had 4,000 something yards.
And first off, it's not even the Rams model. The Broncos did it first.
That's true. Man.
Yeah. What? Broncos have been
Manning
doing it for
not
years.
The reason they won the Super Bowl.
They should have won before that with Manning. Mm.
They should have won with the Broncos.
They shit the bed until they got rid of John Fox. But
are you a John Fox stan?
No, I'm saying they shit the bed until they got rid of John Fox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then they finally won, but that was after Manning.
Either way.
Is that Kubiak?
He had 4,000 yards passing last year on a shitty Falcons team.
Colts are a top 5 defense. They got a really good running game, pretty decent pass protection, and now they have Matt Ryan. They got to get another receiver in the draft, probably.
Also playing a dog shit division.
Yeah. Their division's one of the worst in football, Titans. Which means they'll probably win 12 games and lose like 3 in a row to end the season.
Yeah.
Something like that, because they do that.
I know the Titans are in that division, but also fuck the Titans. The Titans are a paper-ass tiger that has looked good basically because that division was so bad.
Mm.
Matt Ryan has 60,000 yards passing for his career. It's fucking crazy.
This is like, though, like quarterback passing yards now, like looking at them now, you got to throw the numbers that were in your brain as a child out, because it's like comparing home runs hit in the 30s and 40s to home runs hit
or
in
just
the 10s and 20s.
Three-pointers now?
Yeah, same thing. Like, it's just not... It's just a totally different situation.
Well, the weird thing is like, you know, if you look at those great quarterbacks like Montana and those guys, they had the fucking numbers. I mean, they were fucking gunning all the time. That
not
West
like
Coast
that.
Offense.
No, you know,
like
fucking Troy Aikman never threw more than 23 touchdowns in a season.
I'm pretty sure Matt Ryan has 10,000 more passing yards than John Elway.
Probably.
Let's find Joe Montana, just out of curiosity.
I think he's worse than Elway.
Yeah, Montana
in terms of yards.
Isn't...
Guys, no, I said Joe Montana.
Montana. 40,000 yards. Wow. Matt Ryan is 60,000 or 20,000. yards passing more than fucking
Joe Montana.
Tom Brady's got 84,500. Drew Brees has 80,358. Then Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Roethlisberger, Rivers, and then Marino, 61,361. Marino was the leader for like 20 years.
Who was number one on that list?
Tom Brady. And he's at 84,520, and nobody.
So that is double with Joe Montana.
Yes. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Double and change.
That's fucking crazy, yep. Dude.
And here's the fucked up thing, too. That doesn't sound unbreakable to me.
What, 84?
Yeah.
I don't know. Aaron Rodgers has 55,360, although he sat the first 3 years of his
right.
career.
Yeah. Too, you find the right guy, comes out of college as a junior, and is able to. Medicine's only going to get better.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
You're only going to be able to keep playing longer, not less long.
Eli Manning's got 2,000 more yards right now than Aaron Rodgers does.
Yeah. Eli Manning's a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's people stupid. Fucking. But hate me that I say that. But if you look at his stats, he's top 15 in every category.
What's Matt Ryan? 36?
Two Super Bowls. He'll be 37 in May. Yeah. So going into the season, he's going to be 37 years old, and he's got a good running game. I mean, shit, Jonathan Taylor is
yeah, that's
fucking
all he's
awesome.
Got to do. Just hand the ball off.
Hand the ball off, make a couple of good throws.
I think they need another receiver, though. I mean, they've got Pittman is good. He's
good.
A 1,000-yard guy, yeah. But that's the only fucking real threat they have
T.Y.
on that team.
Hilton's T.Y. pretty Hilton. Good if he's healthy.
I don't even know if he's on their roster anymore.
Yeah, he's been banged up for the last 2 years.
So where are they drafting? Because they might be able to grab one of those first round
receivers.
That's a great question. Because if
they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, guess
they
what?
They can grab an
Check
Olave.
It out. They're not drafting.
Oh. Did they lose that pick?
They gave it to the Eagles.
Fuck off. And that Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Wow. So they have no pick in the first round?
I don't think so.
Shit. That's rough. Yeah. That is rough. All Carson Wentz had to do was beat the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, then to what? Go lose?
He did just well enough.
No, for the draft pick.
But he did just well enough for the Eagles to get the draft pick, though.
That's funny, dude. That's crazy.
It's the best thing he ever did for us.
Jesus Christ. So how many picks do the Eagles have?
In the first round?
Mm-hmm. I think three.
It's like three, yeah.
Let's see. They
really?
Have...
Two or three.
God, you could load up. If the Eagles had a quarterback, man.
We do.
They have
no,
pick.
You don't.
They have
not Jalen Hurts.
They have number 10, number 16, and number 19.
Yeah, I think you're also kind of crazy if you take quarterback this year. Just load up on everything else.
Yeah, why would we get a quarterback now?
They should take all three of the receivers that are going to go in the first round.
And add them to Waddle.
Or as you like to, we could just run out Minshew,
I would love that. I think Minshew should be your starting quarterback.
He shouldn't be, but...
Yes, he should. If you put him with some talent, he's fucking rad.
Jalen Hurts needs to be more consistent. Obviously he makes some shitty fucking throws and some bonehead plays, but like there's times when you see Jalen Hurts make a play and you're like, holy shit, like maybe two other guys in the league can do that.
The Colts' first pick is 42.
Whoops.
Is it really?
Yeah.
But they're going to be, I mean, receivers in the draft is never like that. Dotson kid may go in the second round, late in the second round.
I would still trust Dotson. He was great at Penn State.
Yeah, he was really good. I mean, I feel
like
he's
entire offense.
I feel like he's probably going to go in the first round, but you know how it goes in the draft. If somebody goes into the draft and like, hey, we're going to take a fucking one of the offensive linemen in the early second or one of the edge rushers or cornerbacks or whatever, and people start taking cornerbacks in the first, they'll panic and take that shit way too early.
They get
and
runs,
have to pay that dude way too much fucking money. It's never worth it, by the way. Like the difference between a guy drafted 17th and 50th is razor fucking thin. And it's not worth the extra like $6 million per year you end up having to pay him. The NFL teams, you know what? Everybody rags on that fucking stupid draft night show or whatever with Kevin Costner, but that's real. These people are fucking retards.
It is become
real. They make
real.
The wrong decisions almost always.
You know what's weird about that movie is like when it came out, it was unrealistic across the board. Now, you're right. It has become real now.
It's fucking stupid.
It's wild. It was on the other day, so I popped it on, and I was like, is this as bad as we remember? So we joke around about it on the show, and I'm like, oh, my God, no. The NFL is doing that now with all these fucking receivers and all this shit.
Somebody did a study on it before last year's draft about how frequently NFL teams trade a player or trade up from lower in the draft to higher in the draft to take a quarterback especially. I think it's like 7% of the time it works. 7% of the time they get the value for that pick.
It's whatever, like, I would say the NFL is like light years ahead of every other league in being the most uncreative.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Like,
they do the same stupid shit every fucking year.
You've got like You know, you basically have baseball and basketball operating on like this high level money ball statistic. Like, how can we get these tiny advantages? I can think about it and everything like that. And then I don't know hockey well enough to even comment on that, but anything has to be more creative than the fucking NFL.
Yeah, where's your blue sweater?
Like, I mean, I love the Blues. I'll root for the Blues, but I hockey's a sport I just like ignorantly watch. Like, I'm just like, ooh, score.
Definitely
ooh.
A casual on that
yeah,
one. Yeah,
go team.
I think the NBA has been pretty bad at drafting too, to be honest. I mean,
well,
like,
there's not a lot of talent, man.
There's not, but like taking and I said this at the time of the draft too, taking Zion Williamson over Ja Morant, that's fucking stupid.
He's already put together a much better career. Yeah, like that's hindsight though. Like Zion,
it's not hindsight. This is the stuff we were saying at the time. He can't stay on the court because he's fat.
And he's too big, yeah.
Not just because he blew out his Nike. no, Zion's like he was efficiency rating and like
he's like 24 and a half.
He's insanely good. Yeah. Like when he actually plays, he's incredible.
But that's what Ja Morant does too. And he's also responsible. Like if you couldn't,
he's a leader.
All the interviews that they did and watching him in college and all the interviews, like the pre-draft interviews you do with him, if you couldn't figure out he was a piece of shit back then, they had to change the fucking menu in the defect there because this motherfucker wouldn't stop eating.
I think it's a bad place to get drafted. New Orleans is not made for Zion. It's fried food. It's bread. It's just like he had no chance.
Or maybe they just have a habit.
If he got drafted by Utah, Zion's maybe 210 pounds.
Like, there's no good food.
Well, let's
there.
Talk about the NBA because right now, so it looks like tomorrow's game against the Mavs, the Lakers are going to be missing AD and LeBron again.
Yes.
Right now, they're one game up on San Antonio for the 11th spot, which is out of even the playoff game.
Yeah, and I believe they just blew a 25-point lead to the Pelicans.
They did, yeah.
They did, yeah.
And San Antonio plays Houston tomorrow, which is the worst team in basketball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's a good chance that the Lakers are going to be on the outside looking in here pretty soon.
I hope they're out. I don't want to see LeBron at all.
Is there
I don't
any chance
talk
he fucking,
him.
Like, he, they didn't make the playoffs last year, right?
No.
And if he misses it again this year with the fucking Lakers, any chance he leaves that organization?
Mm-hmm. Good chance. Good chance.
He's going
to
leave.
But to go
the
where?
Lakers. It doesn't matter.
Go anywhere. All you need to do is put him on a. He's chasing six, like Pujols is chasing 700.
He needs to be on a team.
He's got to win five first, though.
He needs to be on a team with another fucking slasher, like a small forward or point, or power forward that's a slasher guy or even a shooting guard, and then a guy who's a really good spot-up three-point shooter. That is the perfect system. He needs to be in a triangle offense. Yep.
He's going to go to Minnesota and ruin that franchise.
I hope so. It's crazy to me that
too slow.
Do you remember when LeBron was on the Heat and he developed that post game and people were like, dude, this is it. Like, this is the future of LeBron. Mm. He's going to become a great post player. Forget, like, the point forward. Forget, like, the stretching the floor. Like, this is how he's going to age really efficiently and really well. He's going to be a great post player. And he never ended up doing that because he just kept having to play point forward, basically. Yeah. And I don't blame him for that because he is legitimately one of the most brilliant passers I've ever watched.
Yeah, but how sick would that be? Anthony Edwards, LeBron, and Kat?
No, that'd be rad. But here's what I'm saying, though.
It's a good team.
Yeah,
he actually needs to go somewhere where he can be at the four what Jokic is at the five. Like,
where is that is the question.
It's not Minneapolis.
No.
There's no way.
No. And he would never go to that fucking city anyway.
You want to be a Timberwolf?
He needs to go.
Minnesota.
There's rumblings that he might go to the Suns at some point to finish his career.
To play with Paul.
Maybe when Paul retires. But with Paul would be better, obviously, because Paul does.
Ball, I'd imagine.
That would be a good team. Him, Paul, and Devin Booker. You could trade DeAndre Ayton away from that team. You don't need him at that point, in my opinion.
Oh, you need to keep him. You need Ayton.
I don't think you even take LeBron on that team. I mean, unless you're gonna.
What happens this year. Phoenix is the best team in basketball right now.
Yeah, but I think LeBron James would fuck that up because they've got a good thing going, and everybody knows their role on that team. Whereas LeBron would fuck it up. He wouldn't want the ball too much.
Right, but I don't think there's a team in the NBA that would say no to LeBron.
Here's an idea. Here's a place where I think LeBron should go. And it makes perfect
sense.
Go
to Golden State like Kevin Durant did?
No. God, I would hate that.
Shanghai?
No.
Shanghai Sharks?
Go back to the Heat.
The Heat would be a good fit Jimmy Butler.
He and Jimmy Butler on a team, and they got Lowry and Harrow and a bunch of other guys. But like he and Jimmy Butler on a team, that's a really good combo.
Yeah.
It's really good defensively, and like, you can play inside out. You get the ball into LeBron. He's a brilliant passer. He's tossing it out to Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero and shit like that.
And it's still a good city. Like, Miami is a fun city, and Butler's, he's already lived there.
Butler is one of the few like, in my opinion, one of the players that can be good with or without the ball
yeah.
at the same time. Usually a guy is good at one of the, like Russell Westbrook without the ball. He's not coming off screens, catching a pass and fucking shooting a 3-pointer ever.
Yeah.
Like we've seen it happen recently. He hit the side of the fucking backboard.
Speaking of Jimmy Butler in the Heat, did you see that fucking blow up with him and Haslam?
Yeah.
Haslam was going to
murder Jimmy Butler. It wasn't just Haslam. It was fucking
Spoelstra as well. Like, dude, Haslam, though, is that dude.
Yeah.
He would have ripped his fucking face off.
Haslam's Charles Oakley.
Yes.
Modern Charles Oakley, for sure.
He would have ripped his fucking face off.
He's like 40 fucking years old, isn't he?
Yeah.
Udonis Haslam.
He's been playing for 20 fucking years.
All for the Heat, right?
Yeah. You know, he's like almost a coach at this point.
Yeah.
Assistant coach. Kind of like how Juwan Howard was.
Yep, 100%.
So if the Lakers don't make the playoffs, do they blow up this team altogether?
Yeah, they have to.
It's fuck LeBron. The buses have to do that. Like, they can't sit there and be fucking beholden to LeBron James. Fuck LeBron James. You're the goddamn Lakers.
Yeah, but you can bring in... I don't think LeBron's the problem. I trade AD and Westbrook and bring people in for LeBron.
But here, yeah, I agree.
Like,
with
you
that.
Can't, like, it's none of this is on LeBron. He's played out of his mind. This is the best I've seen him play, I think.
But here's the thing,
especially considering the circumstances.
Yeah, I wonder if he went to Germany over the offseason.
Wait, what?
I wonder if he went to Germany over the offseason.
Got some injections.
Yeah. Got
the
Kobe.
Maybe.
Yeah. But he's cosplaying as GM. NAD. And they can't let him. They need to be like, you're a fucking player.
Yeah.
Fucking play.
It's him and his agent that run that team.
You're Rich not Paul. The fucking coach. You're not the fucking GM. We're the guy. The Lakers are the fucking Yankees of that league. Like, they need to act like it. It's kind of pathetic, to be honest.
It's not great.
It's weird to see, man. It's really fucking weird to see. Giorgio. Switched over to UFC. It was in Columbus, Ohio. Joey was there, dude. Anik posted a picture with Joey Burrow.
Yeah.
He says, in the presence of greatness. And I was
Joe Burrow was in the presence of greatness.
That's what I said to
John
Anik.
Anik is the best announcer in any sport.
100%. That's what I told him. What was that card like? I didn't watch it on Saturday night.
Of course not, because it was a fight night card.
What do you mean?
Yeah, usually only up for the UFC pay-per-views.
Yeah, I go for the big dogs, but like if I'm around, it's free because they've got ESPN Plus.
I mean,
I'll usually pop in.
It was a fun card.
It was?
But I mean, it was the same time as, you know, the fucking Duke-Arkansas game.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was watching on my phone.
Blades and Daukus.
Curtis Blades knocked out Daukus. I didn't expect that. Pretty vicious. Kai Kara France with a massive upset at 125.
That's the biggest fight of the night, easily. Was the Kai Kara France fight?
Not the best fight, but
didn't the biggest fight of the night. Kai Kara France.
Did he lose his last one before this?
Kai Kara France.
No, he just knocked out Cody Garbrandt.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah, he's been on a small little run here. He was ranked like outside the top 10 for a little while, in top 25, and people really weren't giving him credit. But he's been on a nice little run here.
Yeah.
Fighting out of New Zealand, I think he's picked up everywhere. Dan Hooker has lost a step. Kai Kara France has picked it back up.
And then obviously the fight of the night, Matt Brown,
yes.
Barbarina.
Yes.
War. That was just a fucking barn burner.
I get a serious question for the both you guys, since you guys are two UFC experts here. Is Joe Rogan not doing...
He's never done a fight night.
He's never done a fight night.
No. Why would he?
Say he's not doing
that? He's a pay-per-view guy. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know.
He's a big money guy.
I don't know what his contract
he's
is
busy,
like.
He's busy, man. It's pretty much... Come when you want, Joe. That's kind of like his deal.
I think he does like 7 events a year, probably something like that.
Okay, and that's probably permanent for
he'll,
him.
He'll like probably be at the next one. Volkanovski is fighting Korean Zombie. Peter Yan and Sterling are fighting Gilbert Burns and Mackenzie Dern, who is friends with Rogan, I think.
That's a good card. When is that?
She's making a comeback.
It's next week.
April 9th, okay. Yeah. Speaking of that, April 9th, Flo Groberg invited us down to watch Ryan Garcia fight in San Antonio.
And what?
It's like his comeback.
Oh, yeah, Ryan Garcia.
Yeah, because didn't he have broken ribs or some shit?
Yeah.
For a while, missed his last fight, I think. I don't know, we'll see.
Look, he was on pace to be like one of the greats. I don't know what's...
He's like 24 years old, man.
Yeah, he's got time.
Yeah.
For sure.
But he's small. In boxing, he's actually 23. Shit.
Yeah.
He's a featherweight, I think, and nobody gives a fuck about that shit.
No. Unless there's violent the knockouts, only reason, nobody
like
cares.
He makes a lot of money because he had like 3 million fucking Instagram followers before he even started fighting meaningful fights, because he punches like a goddamn mule kicks, and he's a tiny little man. But I don't think he's ever gonna. I would like to hear from an actual boxing fan, but it doesn't feel like he's on the same trajectory as like Canelo and shit like that.
Probably not. I mean,
no, maybe Garcia's because of the weight class. I don't know.
Garcia's an Instagram influencer, right?
Yeah,
that's pretty much
he is. But he wins fights. He knocks people the fuck out.
He's fighting no one.
He's the Dylan Danis of boxing.
Or no, I would say more. It would more like the Sean O'Malley, right? Like where they're just kind of serving him up.
Tomato cans.
Yeah, but you do that if you're trying to develop a guy's talent.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
And because it's about that one clip, like we were talking about earlier. Yeah. It's about getting that one knockout, like the Blades. That Blades knockout you were talking about, Delco. Yep. That's the only thing that I saw that was trending on Twitter from that card, and I was like, oh shit, that was a fucking violent knockout.
Yeah, it was there was a lot trending from that card.
A lot, but that was just the
highlight of the night.
It was the knockout of the ending of the main event. Of course, it was going to be kind of all over Twitter. We had an amazing weekend overall in martial arts sports all around. We had Rata Tang fight Demetrius Johnson over in 1FC. If you don't remember who that is, it's Mighty Mouse.
Bringing up the dub.
Going off as probably the best Muay Thai fighter in history. He gets choked out in the second round. They did this weird fight where the first round was Muay Thai, second round was MMA, Muay Thai, MMA, and DJ weathered that first round and then choked him out. We had a Flo's Who's Number One grappling card here in Dallas, Texas, where we saw Gordon the King Ryan's return to the mats, getting ready for his Andre Galvao super fight at ADC. He took on Jacob Couch and submitted him inside 20 minutes pretty handedly. Gordon with a huge weight advantage. Andre Galvao going to a draw in a grappling-only match with 1FC. His 40 years of age is really starting to show. ADCC will be in September in Las Vegas, probably the biggest grappling event in history. And, things are going pretty good over here in the old fight world.
Most important thing that's happened in the fight world in the last couple of weeks is that there are no more professional football players pretending to be fighters.
At least
in the UFC. He's going to go fight at Bellator, probably, I would guess.
But did he get cut?
Bellator, he got cut
from the UFC. Yeah.
He's going to go to Cleveland with Deshaun Watson.
Great. The two of them smack together.
Smack around. Yeah, I don't know. Hardy's out of the UFC.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's going to go. I think... JoJo would know more about that than me, but I heard he was going to Bellator, but who knows?
The biggest thing that's about to happen is Chimaev versus Gilbert Burns next weekend, because we're going to see probably the best jiu-jitsu in MMA and Gilbert Burns going up against probably some of the best grappling and the biggest hype talent right now.
Think Gilbert Burns has the best jiu-jitsu?
In MMA right now, probably. He's probably right up there with them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Who do you got above him?
Maybe Charlie.
Damian Maia.
It's hard to argue with fucking Chimaev being the best fucking grappler, though. I mean, that dude's you never want to compare somebody else to another fighter, right? He's not Khabib, but he kind of seems like he might be.
Oliveira, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only other person. He has the most submissions in UFC history, so like you really.
Yeah, but then you're fucking. He's riding old shit at that point, right? I mean, Oliveira's still great, but is
like Oliveira's better than he's ever been.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oliveira's better than he's ever been.
You think so right now?
Right now, yeah. He's probably at the peak of his power.
What is he, 34?
Probably maybe a little less.
Yeah, I think he's younger than you think.
He's been fighting forever.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of those names where it sounds like he's 38.
Charles Oliveira, the current Brazilian champion.
He's 32. Okay. Yeah, he's still got a couple more years of
dominance.
Of dominance, yeah. Probably till 35, considering his frame.
Yeah, we'll see.
I thought he was older. Shit.
I did too.
I think Justin Gaethje is going to take him out.
He's been fighting for 80 years.
Gaethje's not being Oliveira.
I think Gaethje's at the point now where he's just fucking throwing haymakers and hoping to fucking land one against a guy like Oliveira.
Although Oliveira does take it in the first round all the time. He always gets like caught. Mm-hmm. So Gaethje could knock him out in the first round. But if he survives that, yeah, it's over.
Man, do you remember what Paul Felder did to him? Like, do we have to run that tape back, Dan?
He beat him.
Yeah, he did. That was
He's been on a run since then.
Since then, yeah. Yeah.
And it's been a while.
That was like 6 years ago, man.
I mean,
do you guys wrestle each other? Are you still doing that, Delco?
I don't have a truck right now. I have a car. I have no means of transportation, so
I drive Dan to and from work.
Really?
Yeah, my car's in the collision center. It's going to be a fucking month.
A month? What the fuck happened?
Don't you get a rental?
It only covered rental for like 2 weeks. So
that's a Delco move right there on insurance.
I know.
You gotta go to policy.
It's okay. There's a company truck you can.
They're
take
fucking gating the gouging that Enterprise does. To run a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like $2,000 to rent a car for a month. I might as well just buy a new car.
Brittany's got a fucking deal with Enterprise, actually.
Really?
If you really need a car.
Okay, I do need a car because my car, like, currently, obviously.
You're not getting it back for a while because of the shortage.
Supply chain issues. Yes. Yeah.
And so, because my wife got in an accident, we didn't get that car back for 3 months. 3 fucking months on that one.
That's fucking stupid.
Last but not least here before we get out of here, the 49ers GM says he has no plans to release Garoppolo. So that obviously opens the door for a trade. And boy, I don't know where he goes or what you trade for that guy. Maybe a third.
Houston
would be
I think Mayfield to Houston
puts asses in the seats, at least.
Because the Browns can afford to give up some stuff, probably, right? I don't think they really need anything, so I don't know how you're going to leverage it, because Houston's fucking just got a bunch of picks already, right? Yep. Like, if they were going to do that, why wouldn't they have just added him to the Watson trade? Yeah. So I don't think that's going to happen. So I think Garoppolo's probably going to go to Houston.
But why get rid of Garoppolo for the unproven quarterback who I don't think looked that good last year? Here's the thing. San Francisco has everything else in place, right? Yeah. So if you're not going to get better than Jimmy Garoppolo, and you've got that whole ass fucking team there right now that already just made, what, an NFC Championship game?
Yeah.
What? Why? Add around him. If you can't, because you're not going to get better than him. This is like...
I don't know that that's true.
I'm like, unsure of Trey Lance as well.
I think I'm unsure of Trey Lance as well, but it's a risk, but I think it's a calculated risk. Like, Garoppolo is not getting better.
Right.
He is what he is, and he doesn't turn the ball over that much, but he's also not going to win you football games. He will not lose you games. Trey Lance can win you games, but he also might lose you a bunch. You know what I mean? It's a calculated risk. They have a win-now team, and Garoppolo is not the guy. And that in the NFC, they're not winning with Garoppolo,
made a
quarterback.
Super Bowl that they were leading in the fourth quarter, and they made an NFC Championship game, both under Garoppolo. They have a great coach, even though he still hasn't quite figured out how to not fuck himself in the ass in the fourth quarter. Like, I think you're better off, and I'll just make another baseball analogy because that's who I am here. You're better off doing like what Alex Anthopoulos did with the Braves and just like coach-proofing the bullpen, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Garoppolo-proof the team as much you can. But Shanahan-proof the team as much as you can.
There's pressure. When you've got a young guy and the fucking there was the number three fucking overall draft pick, it's not 2010 or whenever Aaron Rodgers was drafted, or 2004 or whatever it was.
Right,
like it's now, and then you drafted him, and I want him now. God damn it!
They were idiots for drafting him.
For sure, but they've made the play they made. Yeah, there's not much you can do at this point.
The Giants GM just said they haven't made calls to trade Barkley,
but 2 weeks ago they said that they were open to hearing offers, at least.
He said he hasn't made the calls, which means, for GM speak, hey, dude, why don't you give me a jangle with your best offer for Barkley?
Yeah.
I'm not going to call you, but why don't you call me and make me an offer, and we'll see what we can do here. I wouldn't be surprised to see Barkley gone in the draft.
No, if I'm Denver, I'm trading for Barkley, and I'm sending... Who's their running back now?
Melvin Gordon.
Gordon, yeah. He makes $8 million. Just fucking... Flop them.
Yeah.
Flop them
out. Yeah. Like, yeah, basically you need to find a contender or near contender that just has a ton of draft capital. In fact, who's an actual contender? Fuck Denver. Who's an actual, like, probably going to make the playoffs for sure, like, that has draft capital?
Well, the Eagles have three picks, right? I mean, that could be a move.
I think we're good with our Penn State running back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Who is it? Who's
Miles Sanders?
Yeah, Sanders is good.
Small.
I don't know if Barkley's a big enough upgrade for the fact that they don't have a legit quarterback.
I also don't, again, I do not want to spend anything more than food stamps on a fucking running back.
Yeah.
I'm not giving them any draft picks, no.
You have no quarterback, though. Baker Mayfield.
Maybe over, top half.
Over Jalen Hurts.
Quarterback Jalen Hurts.
I mean, the Bills could definitely improve.
Yeah.
With a running back like that.
And they're in full-on win-now mode.
Who's their running back now?
Devin Singletary. He had 870 last year. He's only 24.
Right.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. But the thing with that, though, is with Barkley is not, you got to, I guess, factor in how much more does Barkley fuck up the other team's game planning for you?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, if you could afford to have Singletary and Barkley, you could do Hunt, Chubb kind of situation, because Barkley can, despite the fact that his legs are the size of my torso, he still catches the ball in the flat really fucking well.
Yeah.
That'd be a nasty combo.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what the Bills situation is regarding draft is either.
Yeah, we'll find out. We appreciate you joining us. Go to mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your deposit up to $1,000. Bet with us or against us. We'll be making golf picks later on in the week. Now
back to normal.
Scotty Scheffler.
No match play bullshit.
Has won 3 out of the last 6.
Number one player in the world, Scotty Scheffler. Hottest player in the world. I wouldn't say he's the best player in the world, but hottest player in the world.
You win 3 out of 6. You're the best in the world to me. Yeah. And he's certainly number one. But we'll get into your picks on that show.
The Valero Texas Open this week in San Antonio.
Ah, you don't say.
Yeah. San Antoine.
San Antoine. You going down?
No. I think I got my fill this week at a match play.
Okay.
It was fun, though. Good time. Always a good time.
Nice.
Also, before we leave, if you're tired of losing your money with Dan, we're going to do a UFC preview show. Yes. A sweet parlay for you. So, you know, if you're losing on the golf, come win it on the fighting.
Well, the golf, just 1 week, you know.
Yeah.
The picks look good, right? Like Hatton won all three of his matches in group play. Gets bounced in the first round.
You sound like a Cowboys fan trying to tell me how their team's going to be good
next
year.
Match play is stupid because you know who shot the best best score in the three matches in group play? It was Thomas Peters at 15 under. He didn't advance. He didn't win his group.
Yeah.
So it's...
Them's the rules.
It's a crapshoot.
Them's the rules. Yeah. Well, look, we'll get back at it this week and we'll try to figure it out. Again, mybookie.com, promo code Drinking Bros doubles your deposit up to $1,000. For D'Anthony Holloway, Delco Dan, Hot Bob, Papa Giorgio, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Monday Morning Recap Show. Good morning, everyone.